Psalms chapter 12. We'll make a few announcements tonight. We will be dismissing the evening service. We'll be here pretty much the day, so we'll be dismissing this evening service. And I've been preaching for some time. I believe this is maybe message 28 or 9, I don't know, 27. Under the title, I Have Victory Over. We went through various areas. We've stated, and I'll probably state this through the message today, it's one thing to get the victory, but it's another thing to keep the victory. And we preached the last couple or three services on victory over choices. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, we took our text, Moses, his life's near to end. As he began to rehearse the words God had given him in the presence of the children of Israel, and he stated to them, more than anything else, regardless wherever you might go, whatever nation, whether you be in captivity even. You know, folks have to, in this day and time, I don't understand. We have to feel like that we're on top of everything, and the doodaddies is big enough on our back to hang a milk bucket on before we can get a song out of them, before they'll witness. But that ain't the way God spoke it. Whatever nation you may go into, the children of Israel had went into bondage. And where you're at, he said, don't forget this word of God. You rehearse what God's placed inside of you, both the blessing and the cursing. We preached under the title for 2 or 3 weeks on I have victory over the blessing. I have victory over the cursing. I have victory over choices. And I stated Wednesday evening, some of you wasn't here, I don't know that I'll finish this in the morning service today, but I will do my best. I will do my best. I'm going to preach under the title, I have victory over the tongue. I stated that Wednesday night, and I'll tell you, I fought devils all week. And guess what? I found out a few times I didn't have victory over the tongue. And we're going to start this. It'll be a little bit different sometime during this week since Wednesday night. I guess I have been hateful. Diane said I had. And I can assure you, if you ever make a stand for something, guess what you're going to be tried with? Guess what you're going to be tried with? I mean, things don't go to suit you, and the first thing you know, this old unruly member gets out of jail. The Lord gave us bars of ivory to hide it behind. Somehow or another, we still manage to open our mouth. David said he'd open his mouth and let his tongue be a praise unto God. That's the way we ought to be in our tongue, isn't it? The only way that our lips can speak, cut your tongue off and you won't make any sound, anyone will understand. The only way our lips will speak when we open our mouth is our tongue. David stated it like this, to let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let it speak the things, God, that you want to have spoken. Things of edification, things that'll be beneficial, things that someone could remember in the good of that rather than the bad. In the book of Psalms, chapter 12, if you have your Bible, stand with us for the reading of God's Word, if you could, for just a moment. We'll give you a few verses of Scripture here. Going to preach under the title, Help Us This Morning. Preaching under the title, I Have the Victory Over the Tongue, My Tongue. I Have Victory Over My Tongue. Verse number 1 of chapter 12 of the book of Psalms. David said, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of man, and speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart, do they speak? Oh Lord, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongues that speaketh proud things. Want you to remember this. Who hath said, with our tongue will we prevail? With lips, our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? Let me read that again. Verse number 3 and 4. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongues that speak proud things. Who hath said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? You can be seated. I want to preach. The Lord be our helper a little while this morning. I have victory over my tongue. Now, folks, when I got saved at that old-fashioned altar, God gave me victory over my tongue. Never will we have victory to speak. I want you to notice now, here's religious people that David's talking about. I believe as David began to state here, oh Lord, he's saying, we need help. The faithful have failed. The faithful have failed in the congregation of Israel. The godly man ceaseth, and not saying that the religion's not going on, but saying the godly ceaseth and the faithful hath failed. Here's what they're saying. They speak vanity every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. What David's simply saying here, you remember when David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, come, let us exalt his name together. I believe, Brother Nathan, what David's simply saying here, I'm tired of seeing a ritual. I'm tired of seeing folks gathered together and nothing's really happening. Brother Fred, what he's saying, I'm tired of hearing folks that have learned how to speak in tongues, but it's like a sounding brass. It's like a tinkling cymbal. A Pentecost, when I was a kid, was reverenced. Pentecost, when I was a kid, was feared. I can tell you, Sister Smith, when I was a kid of a boy, you'd go to these old Pentecostal churches, the power of God began to fall, and some dear old lady, some grandma or grandpa, the power of God fall upon them, they begin to speak in tongues, the whole building be so quiet, you could hear a pin hit the floor. There was a godly fear and a godly reverence there. But this day and time, as David said, oh Lord, oh Lord, how we need your help today. The godly have ceased. They're not godly any longer. They're living every way in the world. The faithful have fallen or fell. Remember, I preached it, fallen water. Oh, what's happened to the faithful man? How are the faithful falling? Listen, folks, we're living in a day today that we don't see the reverence as we one time did in the house of God. You know why? It's because the godly have ceased and the faithful have fell from their faithfulness, their steadfastness, and therefore most of them aren't to be respected. They're using their tongue to flatter. Everything sounds good. It's like a preacher one time, perhaps it was Clinton, and I believe it might have been, said he had a man preach a revival for him years ago in Beaumont, Texas, and said this young man came. He thought he's in trouble. When it come, first thing, he pulled out a big set of golf clubs, and he's fixing and Brother Clinton and said, what are those for? He said, oh, I thought while I was here, I'd have a little vacation time, and I'd go golfing. He said, you're here on business. You're not here on vacation. You're not here to appease the flesh or feel good, if you will. Put them clubs back in that car. After this revival's over, then you can go golf if you want to. I believe I may be getting two stories together, but if I do, the Lord will overlook my ignorance. It might have been the same story. Might be two of them together. Diane says I have done that a time or two. But in this revival, if it wasn't this revival, it was another revival. This evangelist is calling folks out of the auditorium, and he's calling them up there. And he told this one man, said, God's going to bless you. God's going to increase your goods. I can tell you, folks, it's plumb sickening to turn on TVN, listen to the majority of the junk and garbage, the flattery that's on there, that it's all about a blessing and prosperity. And the Bible says, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. God wants a spiritual being to prosper right along with everything else. And folks, until my spiritual being prospers, I don't believe that I ought to even see the physical. I don't believe I ought to see the financial part prosper in my life. But the story goes on to say, he called up a businessman there having trouble with his business. And he prophesied over him, flattering lips, you see. He prophesied over this man, and he said to him, said, God said, thus saith the Lord. The Lord said, your business is going to prosper and flourish more than it ever has. And then he called up another lady there. This lady's wanting to lose weight. She's a big lady wanting to lose weight. Said, I've tried to lose weight. I can't lose weight. He prophesied over and said, God said, you're going to lose 50 pounds. After he's gone, Brother Clendon and the pastors there with these people. 3 months later, this man that he prophesied over his business going to perish. He went bankrupt. The doors is closed on that business. The man that prophesied over the woman and said, you're going to lose 50 pounds. She gained 50 pounds and said, come up to the pastor and said, I want to know what's going on here. The preacher said, God said, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And the other man said, God said, my business is going to flourish. And here's what Brother Clendenin said. He said, if that man had told you you're going to lose your business, you wouldn't have put in near the offering you did. If that man had told that woman she's going to gain weight, she'd have got offended. He wouldn't have got that offering. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, the godly have seized. And those that used to one time walk in the fear of God, they fail. They fail of falling away. But I can tell you today, friend, when we hear from God, it's not about what our lips can speak that would be glory for ourselves that'll be vain. But it's about what our lips can speak that will be edifying to the body of Christ. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, the majority of the churches across this land is a speaking flattering words. They're not speaking what thus saith the Lord is saying. The Lord spoke to me in this. I won't tell you, sometimes it's easier for me to tell something different than what it really is. Do you always have victory over your tongue? Now, I'm not talking about when we're talking about victory over the tongue. I'm not talking about just victory when you fly mad. You ever say, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. Now, you ain't never said that, but I have. No, you ain't never said that. Brother Nathan, somebody already said this morning, said, don't do it, you ain't got enough to spare. I'm not just preaching about this old unruly member getting out of jail. I'm preaching about, the old Western days when we used to watch Westerns. The Indian would say to the white man speak with forked tongue. That's what I'm talking to you about. I believe a lot of folks, Brother Jim, speaks with the forked tongue. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, one minute we'll be blessing the Lord, and the next minute we'll be cursing man who's made after the image of God. One minute We'll be trying to praise, and the next minute we won't know what we're trying to do. Listen, folks, we're living in an hour today, and I'm talking about victory over the tongue. I don't want, you know, I said to you some time ago, God had delivered me. He gave me victory over the expectation of the people. Listen, folks, until we get to the place we're going to please God rather than man, that's what Peter said. We'll never be in a place that we can be a candidate to help those. There's a multitude sitting in the valley of decision today. There's a multitude like the lame man sitting at the beautiful gate. And until we get to the place we'd rather please God than we had to please man, we'll not have anything to offer them that'll help them to raise up. Or tell them they'll lose weight. Eventually they're going to know. Tell them their business is going to flourish. Eventually they're going to know. Tell them God will bless them in their sin. Eventually they're going to know. We can flatter them, or we can be the godly man that won't cease from the fear of God. In the fear of God, there's great counsel. But out of the fear of God, friend, there's great trouble therewith. Out of the fear of God. Let me give you another scripture here. In the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse number 17. Verse number 16, listen to this. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. That's the seventh thing, but I want you to listen here to what the Word of God's saying as the Lord began to speak. And he stated, did you notice the first two things that the Lord hate was these: a proud look and a lying tongue. Did you notice that he stated here in Psalms chapter 12, in verse number 3, the Lord shall cut up all flattering tongues, or all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh what? Proud things. Why is it that he stated here in verse number 4, who hath said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Can I say today that what David's simply saying here, I can tell you, folks, there was some correction give here in chapter 12 of the book of Psalms. There's some correction give to a group of people like there is today. When you tell them there isn't no other word than that old King James Bible, here's what they say: I know what I'm doing. Correct me if you will, but my lips will prevail. The words I speak will be eloquent and enticing. I know what folks want to hear. We got too many today that want to preach what men want to hear rather than what God said give. And they're saying, our lips will prevail. Is it going to prevail over? It's going to prevail. Nothing in the end. It might accomplish a fat wallet book. It might accomplish a popularity in this hour, Brother Nathan. But in the end, I can tell you, I believe it was Sis talking about, somebody stated that the Lord give them a dream or vision or whatever of hell, and they was going through a hell, and the Lord, or maybe they died and seen into hell. I don't even remember who said this, but said that this man standing there, the Lord showing them all this, and said a man's going through hell, and he's getting people by the head, lifting them up, looking at them, and just turning them loose and going to another, picking another's head up, looking at them, and said, they said to the Lord, what's he doing? What's this mean? And said, this man's trying to find the preacher that told him lies, that caused him to be there. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, there won't be any flattering lips in hell. There won't be any eloquent speakers in hell. But if an individual misses heaven, hell is the consequences to those that fear not God, to those that can't keep the victory over their tongue. I don't want my tongue to be used to entice man and to cause man to err and to deviate from the things of God. I pray God help me every hour, every day of my life. If I know it to be true, don't beat around the bush. Just say it like it is and mean it. When you say it, and I believe, whether they hear, Ezekiel said, whether they forbear, nevertheless they'll know there's been a prophet among them. I believe that the psalmist is stating here, the godly man ceased. We don't see those as we one time did. They're failing. They're fading away. I believe as he begins to preach to them the true, uncompromised word of God, here's what they begin to say. Our own tongue. We've got it down. Folks, it's not about eloquency of speech. I have saw, and I'm not against colleges, I'm not against schooling, but I can tell you, if God don't call you before a man tries to teach you, you're just out of business. As far as I'm concerned, you're out of business. It's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. There's so many that go to colleges and all they want to do is hear what man want to hear. They don't want to hear from God. This is not the intellect. This is the spiritual person that we must hear through the spiritual. It's not about what man wants. I tell you, there've been a lot of things, and believe it or not, now when you're preaching, you're going against the grain. It's hard to do sometimes. And if you're not careful, you'll start figuring out a way you can perfume it up and kind of beat around the bush, as the old timers say, and say it in a way that it doesn't sound too bad, or maybe in a way that it doesn't look too bad. You know what that is? That's flattering with your tongue. That's seizing from the steadfastness. That's falling away from the things God told us to stand upon. I don't believe in saying or doing or being something that would be harmful or hurtful. But Apostle Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, there was a time you'd have plucked out your own eye and it gave it to me. But he said, what now have I offended you that you seek my life? Listen, folks, it's this word. Paul said, it isn't about me, it's this word. It's not me that they're offended at or in, but it's this word, Brother Darrell, that they're offended about. I'm here to tell you today, friend, when we hear the word, then the responsibility's left in our hand. How we're going to act or react upon that word of God. You might get the victory today over that tongue, but will you have the victory tomorrow? The influences that are out there. Listen to what he said. The influences that are out there. David began to declare to them. And as he began to declare, it's kind of like Apostle Paul began to declare on Mars Hill. He said, him declare I unto thee. He's the God that made everything. The God that made everything. As David began to say this, and he said, the flattering lips will be cut off. The tongue that speaketh proud things will be cut off. And here's what they said. With our tongue we will prevail. Will we prevail? With our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, what we speak's been working for us, and just leave me alone. I'm going to go that way. I'm going to keep going that direction. Even though they may have felt something or experienced something they know is a little different. They know that God said this is the direction. They said this is what we've been saying. And our lips will prevail. We're going to continue that direction. I have victory over the tongue. I have victory over the expectation of the people. I have victory over the choice. And who is Lord over us? In other words, who is going to correct us? And who are we going to stand to give account to? I can tell you, folks, everyone's going to stand before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings one day and give account. They ask this question, who is Lord over us? I can tell you, friend, it's not the Lord of religions. It's not the Lord of materialism. It's not the God of this world we'll stand before. But it's the Lord of Lords. It's the King of Kings we'll stand one day. And we will reckon unto Him and give account unto Him, the Bible says, for every idle thing we've done in this life. Every word we've spoke, we'll give an account one day. The Word of God says, know ye not that my Word will judge you. I believe it's in Matthew. My Word will judge you. Well, with your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. Let me give you one more scripture that Solomon said in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, I believe it is. And 21, let me give you this real quick. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, does that sound a little strange to you? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Two choices. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, we read to you last Wednesday night, the choices, they all fall under two categories. It's either good and life, or it's evil and death. And he said, choose you life, that both thou and thy seed may live forever. Now, what Solomon's saying here in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, a lot of times, if we love the things of the flesh that's death, and we're speaking those, the power of the tongue, it, we're speaking those, and we're benefiting the fruits of that death nature. We're benefiting the fruits of that death nature. But the power of life is also in the tongue. And if we love it, if we'll speak it, I can tell you we will benefit from the life that's in this Word of God. Not just in the life to come, but in the life right now, folks, we will benefit from the things of God if we'll speak it. In Proverbs 21 and 23, I want to give you a scripture. I'm reading these because I want to get them just right. When you're preaching about the tongue, you got to get it just right. I didn't preach to any of you. I'm preaching to me. Same man of wisdom, Solomon said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Listen, folks. The only way, I stated earlier, that we can keep the tongue is to keep our... Sometimes, you know, the Bible says study to be quiet. In other words, shut up. In hillbilly terminology, you're better off sometimes just shut up. Me and Diane get into arguments. Diane don't do much arguing. And, you know, you'll think, well, I'm getting the last word in. She says something, and I get the last... I ain't about to let her... And it might be that she says, shut up. And I say, yes, dear. Somebody saying, I doubt that. But what the Word of God's speaking here, folks, we got to set a guard. We got to set a watch. Anybody else have that problem? We got to set a watch. We got to continuously set a watch over our tongue, that we don't speak things that we shouldn't speak. I can tell you, folks, if the Lord spoke to us like we speak a lot of times concerning Him in action. You know, John said, it's not that we just love in word. Anybody can love in word, oh, how I love you. That old tongue James talked about, it'll speak great swelling words, flattering words. It can speak things that's eloquent. Here in the Psalms, chapter 12, our lip, our mouth, what we say, our tongue will prevail. What we know how it's done. It can speak great swelling words. The Bible says in the book of James that every beast of the field and of the sea hath been tamed. Man's tamed them all. Didn't say God, been tamed of man. But no man can tame this tongue. What are you saying, preacher? The only way this tongue can ever be tamed and be contained is if the power of God is revealed in that individual. The more you tell me to shut up, the more I want to talk. The more you tell me I'm wrong, the more I'm apt to say, right? Story I heard said one time, two people met at an air place by a pool. They got into an argument, and it was about some little simple thing about scissors. Others said it wasn't. They got into an argument. The one threw, now Diane, let me tell this, don't be shaking your head at me. It's elementary, I know it is. But I'm going to tell it anyhow. He said, you said it's scissors, huh? Yes, it is. It's scissors. Done that. No, what? They got into an argument. He threw him in that pool. And he jerked him up and said, well, we're going to say knife. I forget what the other was. Was it knife or scissors? He said, scissors. Put him back down. Jerked him up again. Was it knife or scissors? It was scissors. He put him back down. That time he said it while he's underwater. You still say it's scissors? And he took his fingers and went like this. And he drowned the poor soul. I'm telling you, folks, that tongue, the old nature of flesh, will get you in a heap of trouble. And pride cometh before destruction. And a haughty look before the fall. That pride's right along in that. I can tell you, and that's the two things. First, that the Lord mentioned, that sixth thing doth God hate, seven is abomination. And the first two was a proud look and a lying tongue. One that can't be told anything. One that says, we can flatter with our lips. Our lips will prevail over anything else. For who is the Lord anyhow? Who we're going to reckon before one day? I can tell you who you'll reckon before. The one that James said, if God don't tame that tongue, it'll never be tamed. Folks, we got to have God. He got to first get in the heart. When he gets in the heart, you can never get the tongue tamed without God getting in the heart. Without God getting in the heart. Let me get back to the book of John, coming to a close here real quick. In the book of John, John said, let us love not in word, this is just word only, or in deed, but in truth. What our tongue speaks a lot of times ain't always truth. You ever hear the old saying, action speaks louder than words? I've said this before to Diane, honey, I love you so much. And now sometimes I'll get mixed up and I'll say I'd swim the widest desert. I'd wade the deepest ocean. It should be I'd walk across the longest desert and swim the widest ocean. And for you, and she just stands there and takes all that in. Flattering don't really do much for her. And she'll say, there ain't no need in doing that. Won't you try washing the dishes once in a while? Sounds much simpler, doesn't it? Why don't you mow the lawn? Why don't you do some of these little things? That old tongue boasts great things, won't it? That old tongue will flatter. I'm preaching to you about having victory over the tongue. I believe when God gets the victory in our heart that it should be. Folks, The tongue will fall in place. It'll not flatter to sound good, but it'll speak what the Bible says out of the abundance of that heart. That mouth will speak. That tongue will be loosed. The string of the deaf and dumb man's tongue was loosed, and he spoke the things of God, not the things about the world. But he can tell somebody now, this tongue's going to be used to glorify the Almighty that delivered me. It'll be used in the right area to glorify the Almighty God. I know some folks that can talk, do a lot of talk about evil, but to speak good, they don't know how. It's foreign language. Foreign language. Everything, they're down on everything and everybody. You know, I've come to the place, I know that folks that don't have a relationship with God's doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Are you? If you've got relationship with God, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Folks that don't know about Him are. I'm not blaming the White House for what's going on in this land. I'm blaming the church house. Folks that know Him and the power of His resurrection in one time, they stood strong, and the godly, they were godly men. They believed in holiness. They believed in a standard of living, not just here but out there. Folks, anybody, I can tell you what, for the right price, I could act about anything. I ain't real good at acting. Sometimes, Diane, I'll call and I'll try to disguise my voice. Now, she always gets me every time. And I called two times in a row and got Abigail. And boy, it just tickled me to death. I disguised my voice like an old lady and I said, "Honey, is your mama there?" She said, "Just a minute, please." She went and gathered up Diane, got her there, and as soon as I said something, Diane, she said, "Leo, what do you want?" We might fool some all the time, but they some just can't be fooled. And I don't know why. I'm still a little bit of a child in me, I guess, makes me want to do that. But you use your tongue differently than what is supposed to be used, you know, disguise. It's easy if we're not careful sometimes for us to fall into things. There's people today, I could name you some, but I won't. I'm trying to get out of calling folks' names and saying things I shouldn't say that I think would might offend. I'm not in the offending business, but I know a preacher, for instance, right now is preaching and working in a certain church. He wouldn't be working there if the money wasn't good. I mean, he don't believe what they believe. He don't stand for what they stand for, but he does now simply because he's been promoted. It's like Balak. Balak knew how to send the more honorable man than the first and got him and began to say to Balaam, "I'm well able to promote thee to great honor. I mean, I'll make something out of you." As Buck Owens used to sing on Hee Haw, "They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. Why, if you'll join up with me, you won't have no need for nothing." And everybody likes to hear flattering things. Billy, I remember you flattering somebody back here. I ain't going to say who it was. Well, I'll mention your name. You'll remember it when I say this. As an older woman, you said, "You know, you are a beautiful older lady." And she said, "And Billy, you're full of it." You remember that? Boy, that flattering didn't go nowhere. And I thought, "Now that's about what happened every time I come to Diane." Said, "I tell you, you're beautiful today." And she said, "Oh, shut up." Now I said that for this. Now most of the time, I probably mean it. Most of the time. And sometimes it might be that I'm wanting something. I know she's going to say no. Could be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a part of every one of us, we know how to flatter. And we can even speak to the Lord that way, Brother Fred, from time to time. But the very thought of that is, He knows the very intent of the heart. He knows the thought before we think it. Brother Jerry Edwards said, here back several years ago, 10 years ago probably. He said his old ticker quit ticking. He had bad heart problems, and the doctors told him, said, you're a candidate to die at any time. You could just die like that. Of course, I can tell every one of you that you're a candidate to just die, and you could just die like that. But he said one day he got to where he couldn't breathe. His old ticker's not working right. He's smothering down. They loaded him up, put him in the car, taking him to the hospital. And he said he just got started. And he said, I was just praying, Lord, just take me on. Lord, you got to hear Brother Jerry Edwards say this to really appreciate. He said, Lord, just take me on. I just soon die and go on. He said, about that time, his heart completely quit. He's trying to catch a breath. He said, I couldn't breathe. He said, the next words is, dear God, save me. Lord, don't let me die. Lord, help me. What are you saying, preacher? We are prone to say things we really don't mean, even to God. A lot of times, you say things to God. He's saying, you don't no more mean that. Nothing. Oh, how we bless Thee, O Lord. Are we blessing in word? Are we blessing in deed? Or are we blessing in real truth? It's easy to do a good deed. It's easy. I can tell you, it'd be a whole lot easier to just say a few good words and do a kind deed or two and help some old lady open the door, carry groceries in, or put them in the car. Go break the ice when it's icy in the winter. It's easy to do a good deed. But I can tell you, folks, truth will cost you. There's a billboard at Belfont, or Valley Springs Baptist Church, and it's been there for a couple of months. It just simply says this: know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The most positive word in the English vocabulary. I like that. It's the King James Bible. The truth shall make you free. And as I said that, I thought, what more of word does anybody need to hear than that? If we ever want to be free, it'll be because the truth. And it shall make you free, the truth. But truth cost is ever time. Truth cost is ever time. Well, at this point, sis, would you come sing that song you was going to sing? At this point, I feel like I may be done. I may not be, but I feel like I may be done with this. We won't be having service here tonight, but we will be Wednesday night. And then we begin revival a week from Wednesday night. The flyers, we have flyers on the back there at the foyer. If you'd like to get one, post it. You know, a business that would let you post it, or a laundromat, a store, or whatever.